People just paint the wall of their house with whatever it is they're selling. It's really a representation of what Mexico is, right? So if you're walking around, you might be saying like, oh, here, like ceviches, whatever, right? And that's what they paint on the wall. And that's a type of typography that they use. And even the symbolisms, we went this direction, even though it's not, maybe not as obvious. It's really a representation of what Mexico is. And in a very poetic way, it's also a way of saying, this is from our house to yours.
Hey, all right. Thank you so much for joining us today. We've got Adrian Viesca from Miche Mix. I always want to say like a Michelada, because that's what they say here in Arizona, but no, it's Michelada. So what's up, Adrian? How's it going?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me here.
So first off, it's Miche Mix. You guys have just done a redesign on the packaging for the Michelada mixer. But before we get into that, is it Michelada or Michelada?
I guess that's one of the cool things about this category. It kind of gives you that freedom to call it what you want, but the original name and kind of the way it's pronounced in Mexico, it's Michelada. But we hear obviously in the States, everybody calling it like Michelada and, you know, other cheladas, and, you know, everybody calls it a different Mexican Bloody Mary. Some people call it, you know, it kind of goes, people go nuts.
What is a Michelada for anybody that's not familiar? And I'm going to be honest with you, I've never had one. So
there you go. So yeah, so now I feel bad that you haven't had our product and the sample didn't get there on time, but I'll make sure you get it. So the Michelada, we like to say it's the next margarita. And the reason we say that, it's actually the number one cocktail in Mexico. So people think that the margarita is kind of a big deal in Mexico. I'm from Mexico. I'm actually right now I'm from Monterrey. That's where we're based at. But right now I'm in Guadalajara. And for every margarita sold in Mexico, there's 50 Micheladas, right? So it's kind of, it's the drink for Mexico. I like to say that it's really symbolic of who we are as a country and our culture. Because if you kind of think about it, it's beer based, right? It's tangy. Yeah. So that's different. But it's spicy and savory. Some people say like, only people from Mexico would, you know, be crazy enough to add like salsa to your beer, which is kind of a weird way of thinking about it. But it's something that's really kind of part of our culture, part of how we kind of think about things, how to this dare to experiment. You know, Michelada started, I want to say, in the 70s approx, and now it's taking up, you know, so many different forms. You know, started as one flavor, but now kind of people add crazy amount of things to it. Start calling it different things depending on what part of the country you're at, and then starting adding toppings and adding cups, and, you know, to the point that it's Netflix made a special last year about kind of how far the Michelada has come. But, you know, if I were to summarize it, it's a beer-based cocktail, number one in Mexico, very synonymous to like Mexican culture, and that it's really about to explode in the U.S.
You've got a 16-ounce bottle of the Michelada mixer. It's Miche Mix. So how do I use it? Like, I crack open a beer and then what?
And then you just add 1 ounce of the mixer and you're ready to go.
That's it?
And yeah, that's
it. Do I add like my own hot sauce? How do I spice it up? How do I make it personal?
There you go. So, okay. So you're now, you kind of in, you're past the, you know, beginner mode and into expert mode. But, and I'll kind of step back for a second. So Miche Mix is, we're a 25-year-old company, number one brand here in Mexico. We were actually the first ones to bottle the Michelada in Mexico. We started with the idea of how do we make it more convenient and easier for people to actually prepare a Michelada, right? So kind of the reason for our existence at the beginning was you get a beer, you add Miche Mix, and you're ready to go, right? And that's great. And that's super tasty, you know, gets you over the hump, especially if you're starting out and don't necessarily know what you're doing. Yeah, but then, you know, fast forward a couple of years later, or even fast forward once you start getting the hang of it, then people start really adding, to your point, their own personal touch. So they say, hey, you know what? What if I add, you know, a little bit of pepper? Or what if I add a little bit more spice? Or what if I add clamato? Or what if I add a different kind of rib and you know, shrimp? And then you start, you know, the mind goes nuts, right? Yeah. So if you want to drink it, and I would suggest that's kind of the entry point in the States, is grab a beer, lagers work best. You add 1 ounce and then you try it. And I think that gets you like 98% of the way there. And it's an incredible, you know, very different experience, refreshing, super savory, great experience. But then if you like it and you start kind of playing around with it, then is when you start kind of experimenting with really your own creativity of what you can add to it.
So you started 25 years ago. What was your packaging then?
Yeah. So actually the packaging that we started with in Mexico hasn't changed much since we started. It's kind of a plastic bottle and then some cups is kind of what we started. What we've updated in Mexico really in the past couple of years is the branding. So we've kind of really rejuvenated a little bit the branding and really making it just along with the times, or refreshed along with kind of as the world starts modernizing and you know, graphic tendencies change. But we kind of started with packaging in Mexico, at least, that would work in kind of pool friendly or beach friendly use occasions, right? Because a lot of the consumption, at least in Mexico and Michelada right now, is when the sun is out, right? And when you're outside, generally speaking. So we wanted to make sure that our packaging would work in those cases. In the States, however, we kind of realized that we wanted to start with kind of our glass bottle. There are already certain competitors out there in the States. I would say that the competitors that are currently there are kind of more focused on competing on price versus competing on quality. So we really wanted to show the US how we're, you know, number one brand in Mexico, and how we're really bringing the best ingredients, no fillers, best taste, better for you claims. And, you know, we thought glass was kind of a consistent way of showing our premium play, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I would say in the US, if you've got a drink in a plastic bottle, instantly for the American consumer is that's down market, right? That's a Gatorade. That's a Powerade.
Yeah.
You know, it's not something that belongs in alcohol, right? Every alcohol is in that glass bottle. So definitely makes sense. But growing up, I'm Latino, I'm Colombian.
Okay.
So growing up, going to the beach with like family and friends and cookouts and like drinks. And like, that's just a big part of the culture, right? It's just being outdoors and having these events and kind of living that up. Now here in the States, it's a little bit different. People do that, but a lot of times like the drinks and everything are at home, or you open up the cabinet of glass, right? Of different bottles. And it's like, okay, now I'm going to mix, I'm going to do entertain in a different way.
Yeah, no, you're spot on. And the reason we felt okay starting in the States with glass was precisely to your point that we see this more as something you have and you drink at home with your friends. So it's funny too, because we have data that shows 85% of the micheladas consumed everywhere in the world are with people, right? It's super rare to have a michelada by yourself. So we really like that, because it's something that you kind of share with, really sparks conversation. And so we said, hey, we can go with something that kind of sits in your pantry that you would be kind of proud to show, right? Like to have on kind of your bar or on your shelf, and even, you know, take out and put in the center of the party, and not be something that you're kind of like, hey, you know, maybe a little, you know, packaging you're not necessarily as proud of as down or down market that you mentioned. And that's kind of, we wanted to be like really insistent on making sure we communicate that kind of premium feel without, and this was what was so hard about it, without losing touch of our heritage, right? And our, and kind of the Mexican roots. And that, that was a long process. That took us a while to figure out.
All right, let's take a quick second to talk about idpdirect.com. Go right to that website, download the design guides, the sustainability guides, the recyclable icon guide, which basically lists out all the different icons. It gives them to you in vectors. You can drop them right into your artwork right now, today, and go right into production. All right, back to the pod. Yeah, and then so in the US, you know, talking about data in the US, what's your demographic? Like, who are the consumers at the moment?
So this is going to be our launch year, right? So you can find some of our, we call it our legacy line, which is kind of the product line that we have in Mexico. You might find it in some states in the Southwest, and that's really more on Hispanic chains, but that's really more of people who know our product from Mexico and are kind of bringing it to the States to kind of, you know, this whole nostalgia thing and feeling connected to their past. But what we really want to do with our new product line is go after the general market. That's what we want to do. We see a lot of inspiration, and we're friends with brands like Topo Chico, right? Who did, you know, an incredible job of catering, not necessarily just to the Hispanic market. Brands like Tajin, who also does a great job, you know, brands even like Takis in the snack space. And there's a lot of similarities between these brands and ourselves, right? We are all kind of market leaders in our category in Mexico. We've been around for a while, and you know, the American dream or the dream for a lot of the brands in Mexico is, how do we crack open the largest market in the world that is kind of a few hours away from where we are? And it's super hard to do, but if you want to do it right, you kind of have to figure out a way to go after the whole enchilada, or in this case, the whole michelada with the general market. So I would say, I'm sorry, there was a long-winded answer, but in a nutshell,
that's great.
I would say that what we really want to go after is the general market, and we see data that shows us that the time is right to kind of attract this kind of consumer.
Yeah, so the time couldn't be more right. Ever since, really, Topo Chico, Takis, all of them, they couldn't be here today if it wasn't for Flaming Hot Cheetos.
Right, for sure.
I mean, honestly, Flaming Hot Cheetos was the one that opened the door for a lot of the brands, and necessarily opened the door for them, but just opened the eyes of the American consumer to these flavors.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, my wife was a teacher, you know, here in Phoenix, and I don't know, like 10 years ago, 12 years ago, you know, her classes were majority Latino, and all the kids were eating hot Cheetos. Like, that's what they would come to school, you know, eating.
Yeah.
And all the teachers are like, you know, what are these kids eating? And, right. But you didn't see hot Cheetos like on any of the shelves at any of your non-Latino grocery mm-hmm. stores or markets. And it just, you know, it's exploded. Like, that has really exploded now that, you know, you've got Takis. Now I just saw Doritos has like a whole new line of like Tapatio.
Yeah.
You know, and like these flavors that we grew up with are now popular. So bringing this in is like the perfect time, and having the actual roots based in Mexico is like a, you know, it's all about timing.
For sure. And great documentary, that Flaming Hot, I forget how it's called, but okay. that story is so cool. If you kind of scratch that a little bit or go deeper mm-hmm. down in why that's happening, I do think that there's something about stepping outside your comfort zone and kind of trying out flavors you're not necessarily used to. I mean, and maybe this is too philosophical, but sometimes I think that that's kind of people's sense for like adventure a little bit. And they use sort of food or even travel sometimes to kind of say, hey, what's really more out there? You know, how do I change things up a little bit? And all of this, if you look at it, all of these brands that we've talked about, they all share one thing in common, which is they're all kind of spicy, savory options. It's rarely something sweet, because I do think that on the flavor side, I know this is a packaging podcast, but
I love this. I love this.
I do think that on the sweet side, I think the US does really well. You guys have pretty much everything covered, like, you know, chocolate, candy, whatever, licorice, like just M&M's, Jolly Ranchers, like gummies, like you'd be like, the whole map is covered. It's really exhaustive, and it's like really well thought out of. And, you know, even going as far as thinking about innovations are rarely about taste. They're more about like claims or packaging, right? Sure. Like better for you gummies, or like better for you chocolate, or, you know, stuff like that, which isn't bad, but it's like, that's kind of a saturated taste profile, if you want to think about it that way. But then you have kind of Mexican or Hispanic flavors, which are like, yeah, maybe, okay, yeah, sure, sweet. But what if I do sweet plus spicy, or sweet plus tangy, right? Or just full spicy or full savory. And that's really more for our culture. I don't know if you know how long it's been since you've been to Mexico, but like, it's so funny. Our candy here is chili. That's our spice. Like, ever since I have a 5-year-old, his top 3 favorite candies are all like chili based. Like, that's how he grows up, you know, and that's how people grow up in Mexico. So it's super part of just who we are, and kind of that spiciness and everything that we kind of eat, and in this case drink, right, with the michelada.
It's that savory. Yeah, you want like that, I don't know, I guess there's an umami, right, in savory that you don't get in sweet. So having a typical beer, right? You get the beer, you get like that yeast, you know, there's like that little bit of a tang in there already. So with the michelada mixer,
there you go.
on your body, you've got a no tomato base, right?
Yeah.
Is that important? Because I know a lot of people use the clamato and they use tomato. Is it important to not have tomato? Is that original?
So important. That's kind of one of the biggest questions that we had, like, you know, here with the team, because it's so funny. Like, if you even Google like michelada, you know, in the US, or even, you know, start shopping around and looking at the shelves, and normally, you know, those type of products are in the mixer section, right, in a grocery store. You see brands like Clamato, which are huge. They do a great job. And then you see other brands, mixer brands, and everything you see out there, everything is tomato based. Yes, like there's micheladas in Mexico that have tomato, or in this case, Clamato, which is the number one brand for the tomato piece. But when you think about the cocktail as a whole, it's not really that, right? Like, Clamato is just one ingredient of it. And most of the micheladas really in Mexico do not have Clamato. Even the original ones don't have Clamato. It's really what we're sort of showcasing in our recipe, which is lime seasoning and some chili. And that's kind of the savory and spicy piece that you add to it. That is kind of the original. And most popular way of drinking a michelada in Mexico.
Yeah.
But then when you do add clamato, which does happen in Mexico, it's on top of that, right? So it's not instead of that. Yeah, instead of that. So it was really important for us to say, you know, how do we showcase the original way of drinking a michelada, which is, by the way, the most popular way of drinking a michelada in Mexico. So that's not tomato based, which, by the way, also allows you to kind of drink more than one, because we do feel sometimes that when you add tomato, it kind of fills you up and you kind of feel a little bit bloated. So this is a way where we thought it's just much lighter, much refreshing. Since it's 1 ounce, which is also a big difference, point of differentiation for us, you can add it directly to your beer can or your beer bottle, right? Because like other mixers, whatever other category, it's generally between 3 or 4 ounces. So you pretty much, if you want to add it to your beer, you pretty much have to finish your entire beer.
You gotta finish half your beer.
Yeah, exactly. And this one, it's like you take a few sips and then you add 1 ounce, that's full flavor, and it gets it done. So yeah, we went a completely different route, but we think that's part of, not only is that keeping it authentic, but it also, I think, just takes the michelada to a new direction, which we think is more synonymous with kind of the local way of thinking about it. And that's really also the inspiration behind calling it Mexican recipe, right? Because it is a Mexican recipe.
Yeah, and I'm looking at your packaging, right? We've got the clear glass right up at the top of it. We've got add 1 ounce to your beer. Super simple for anybody that, like me, that hasn't done it before. It's like, all right, now I get it. It's not like a big production. It's not a big recipe on how to do this, right? And a big part of packaging is educating your consumer, the ones that have used it before, but also the ones that haven't. So how do they get into this product? Then we're going down. The picture that I have looks like your label has some texture to it. Is there texture on that label?
Oh, yeah. So cool. Such a good question. And this is one of the things that I'm like, I don't know if we should have taken it a different direction, but I'll give you kind of behind the scenes look. That's supposed to be a wall. That is actually literally a picture of a wall in Mexico. And we went with a very niche packaging provider that, if you feel it, I'm so frustrated that you don't have a bottle with you, so you don't actually see it and touch it, but it's like rough, and we did that on purpose because it's supposed to be a wall, right? Or it is a wall, actually. It's not as obvious, but it is a wall.
But like a stucco, like a really rough.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's rough, and then the typography, or I don't know what that's the right word for it, but kind of the whole font and everything that says for it. It's inspired by this idea that, if you kind of Google it later, it's called rótulos, which is, if you walk around kind of the real Mexico, and no matter what part of it you go to, you'll see that people, when they have like a mom and pop shop or like a shoe store or a hardware store or whatever, you know, smoothie store, no matter what you're selling, there's never any like professional or like very well produced signage. It's people literally, they sell from their house. I don't know if it's because it's an economic thing or just part of our tradition, but people just paint the wall of their house with whatever it is they're selling. Right. So if you're walking around, you might be saying like, oh, here, like ceviches from whatever. Right. And that's what they paint on the wall. And that's a type of typography that they use, and even the symbolisms. We went this direction, even though it's not as obvious as maybe some of the other like images or references that people have of the Mexican culture. But it's really a representation of what Mexico is. And in a very poetic way, it's also a way of saying this is from our house to yours. Right.
Nice.
And that's kind of what's behind this whole idea of rótulos.
Yeah. No, I love it. Right. So in Colombia, we have the chivas, which are the big buses. And it's the same. Like, it's that hand painted. Nothing is perfect, but it's perfect. Yeah. It's like you see it and it's clearly, there's some history, you know, there's some love in there. I love it. And then you also have like the distress, like some, you know, in the letter M, there's some parts that are missing.
It's supposed to be. Right? Yeah. And it's painted, and, you know, paints can get cracked. If you look at kind of the orange stuff, which again, it has we even went with a different texture. It's supposed to be that the wall was peeled off, right? So it's supposed to be like what's behind the painted white, right? And that's kind of the patterns on the orange. Again, this might be like, no, maybe people never get it. And it's just like, oh, okay, this is nice. But we just felt that it was more important to like keep it real than just like, oversell something and not be, you know, true to the roots.
No, that's cool, man. So who did the design work on these labels?
This was such a long process because we went very, like, a lot of different directions and trying to hit that sweet spot where, you know, how do we stay true to Mexico, but then also get to a point, you know, it resonates with the US consumer. And so we explored different agencies. We ended up going with one that's actually LA based. And it was kind of a team effort between our in-house design team and our kind of research paired with some of the ideas from the LA side. So we thought it was really cool because the way to get to the sweet spot between kind of Mexico and the US was literally bringing people from Mexico to the US to kind of bounce sure. ideas and then land on a spot where it's like, this is great. Like, I understand it coming from the US side. And in Mexico, we were like, yep, this is who we are. So great. And so we kind of took it from there. And then, our design team, Kevin, is his name specifically, did a great job of kind of then taking that and running with it and just making it into something that's, you know, across the finish line.
If finding your spec data is a wild goose chase around your office, you've got a data problem. Specrite is the only cloud-based management specification solution that every brand needs. Because if you don't spec right, you'll spec wrong. Yeah, no, I love it. So I love the story of the product. I like where you're going with the packaging, with the labeling, the texture, talking about the home, the walls, giving that a little bit of that story. It would be great to tell a little bit more, like actually tell a little bit more of that story on whether it's the back of the label, right? Because like I've got no data, but I'm going to tell you maybe 10% of the people actually read the back of the label at some point in time when it's up on their thing. And when they do, it's like, oh, you kind of buy into the story. You kind of learn a little bit more. And then when you're serving your drinks to your friends, you're like, oh, you know, I just learned this, right? Because people always want to kind of show off what they learn. It's like, how do you tell that story? And I would even go, I love where you're at. And as if I look forward kind of where the American market is, like what we're seeing here is we want to see more of like that heritage or originality. I would have your graphics, all your, like, actually have somebody that's doing rotulos do the actual stuff, man. Like, that would be amazing. And then you get somebody else's story that you can tell, right? As we continue to build these things around, you know, Miche Mix, where it's like, oh, people love buying coffee where they're like, oh, I see the picture of the guy picking the coffee. Who knows if that's really the guy picking the coffee, but people love that story. This is, you know, there's a connection to one more person. So those are always cool things to look at. You know, when I'm looking at packaging, the purple and the orange on the label, tell me about those colors. Like how does a Mexican product go with purple and orange?
Yeah. Awesome. Great question. And thanks for the tip just now, because I do think that you're totally right. We don't tell enough about the story behind the packaging, and that's got to live somewhere other than this great conversation. So I'll definitely think about how do I make sure that people know about that? Cause it is part of who the brand is and what we do.
Man, how long you've been around?
The purple and the orange.
Yeah.
So the purple, I'll start with the purple. The purple is kind of the color for the brand. Actually, we had to dial down the purple when we took the Mexico legacy branding and kind of went to the States, because it was getting a lot of a Taco Bell association. If you look at kind of our Mexico logo, it's, you know, subconsciously takes you to Taco Bell. And, you know, Taco Bell is a great company. I'm nothing against that. But we wanted to make sure that we stand, you know, as our own. So we needed to keep the purple. Purple was originally part of the color for our brand, because there's been studies that purple is associated a lot with spice. And so that's why Takis, you know, Takis is purple, right? That's also the reasoning for them. And there's a lot of other, you know, purple spicy brands. But that was part of our reason for picking purple. So originally spice driven, also kind of wacky color, not as maybe a little bit off, more offbeat. And then we, you know, wanted to keep that in the label. And then orange is really more of, other than purple, we don't necessarily have set colors. We have, like, obviously a brand guideline and everything, but they're all vibrant colors, right? Cause we definitely wanted to, and that, like, and boldness, right? Cause those are part of the brand personality, but also part of what we think, also part of, like, traditional Mexican colors. If you want to like every time you think about Mexico, other than the flag, I think people associate it with like, you know, sombreros and sarapes and like party and like
right.
papel picado and fiesta. And it's very colorful. So we wanted to make sure we had a little bit of splash there on vibrant colors. And orange, we thought, was one representative of the flavor profile that we were launching with Mexican Recipe.
When I see your label visually, for some reason it connects me to Angostura bitters, which is a good thing, right? Like you see this on the shelf, like being able to connect one product with another in the same category, it makes it really easy. It makes it easier for somebody to be introduced to a new product and be like, okay, this belongs in here.
Yeah.
Right. If you do something that's so new and, you know, unexpected, then people have a hard time connecting, like, okay, this goes with this, or, you know, this belongs in here. This belongs in my basket. So if somebody's shopping at the grocery store, at the liquor store, it's like, what does it look like when this bottle goes into their basket? Like, what else is going in there? Right. So this with, whether it's a Corona or, you know, you pick a beer, what does this bottle look like in that? You've got the purple, which is really going to stand out against any other beer labeling. You've got the orange, really clear, the Michelada mixer. And when you put that, you know, when you put those products up on the, you know, to pay for them, it's like, it makes it really clear that they go together. It's like, I don't know, from a packaging standpoint, like we really nerd out on that entire process. Like when I take it off the shelf and I put it in my basket, what else is in that basket? When I put it up on the counter, what does that look like? What does it say about me? And all these little things, like all these little colors, the texture tells a really, really good story. And going back to the Angostura, like those guys have the really tall label that doesn't fit the bottle. Like they're known for that. But like the organization yeah. of their information is really similar to yours, which is nice. Because again, it just kind of connects. We're in the right space and it's a good brand to connect to. So that's pretty cool.
I would love for people to make that association too, because I know that, you know, Angostura Bitters specifically is all about breaking the paradigm of like how you should add a little bit to it, not a lot. And yeah. it's kind of a premium product. And that's kind of the same line as we're going with, right? Like this is full flavor. You don't need to add a lot. It's a premium product. It's not like, you know, pour half the bottle to this mixer like every other mixer out there. So I think that's the spot on. I would love if people kind of make that association. I think it's well said.
All right. So then if I want to try this out, I go to the grocery store, but maybe I'm not ready to commit to buying, you know, 16 ounces of this thing. What's my entry point? I see that you guys also have cups that have like premix inside of it, or what is in the cup?
Yeah. So the cup is literally, that is part of kind of the Mexico line, the legacy line that we're bringing. The cup is pre-rimmed, so already has like this chili lime seasoning around it. And then inside the cup, you get everything you need to then just pour the beer directly. So it's the exact dose of the liquid mix. And then there's like additional chili powder that if you want to kind of get a little bit of spice. So the formula on the cup right now, it's kind of the legacy line formula. So we adjusted a little bit specifically on the natural ingredients for this like premium bottle. So it's a very similar taste, but it's not exactly the same taste, because we had to, you know, do a great job of formulating, keeping that same great taste, but making sure we hit the no artificial flavors, no artificial ingredients, real lime, reduced sodium and all of that. So you'll get a similar experience, but not exactly the same taste. That's why we're thinking to kind of as an entry point for this product. We don't have it on the website just yet, but it'll be on shelves on the summer for sure. And I think we'll go really well in maybe even like convenience stores or those sort of channels are single serve options. Nice. And the way we're thinking about that is like sachets, so packets where it's like, you know, 1 ounce of our Mexican recipe flavor and structured in a way in this packaging where the neck of it is designed such that once you tear it open, like it's able to fit in the 15 millimeters that is the beer bottle neck. So you're able to pour it directly in your beer if you're going that way, right? So that was kind of our on the go presentation, which I think fits well with as an entry point for our product.
No, that's cool. Cause it makes it super easy. If I'm checking out and I'm thinking of like, if I'm checking out the liquor store and that product is perfect for on the counter.
Yeah.
Just that last minute, I'm buying my beer. I've got the product sitting here. I can just pick a sachet and then I can walk out and I can test it. Next time I come in, I'm buying the bottle, right? Like, how do you push that and put it in front of everybody? Because again, it's like, yeah, I can go buy the bottle, but if I forgot to buy the bottle, or I've never tried the bottle, or I'm not sure about it, if I get to the counter and there's a display where I can grab one and test it, amazing because I've had a lot of beer. I've never had a michelada. So I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that haven't either. So it's like a great way to introduce. And like I said, now it's a perfect time because everybody's looking at spice. Everybody's looking at color. I love the story of purple. It totally makes totally sense with the Takis. As we start wrapping up, what do you want people to know about Michelada Mixer and when will it be available nationwide in the US?
So we're going to start being in retail in certain parts of the country first, because we also want to build this well. So our stores will be mainly focused in the southwest of the states, so we'll be in, Texas, Arizona, New Mexico. Yeah, there you go. So yeah, Phoenix is obviously a huge market for us.
Yeah.
And then California for sure. And this was such a hard conversation too, because obviously there's appetite for these types of flavors nationwide, right? But even though we're a big brand in Mexico, it's a totally different ballgame to make it work in the states. So you need to kind of be smart about building a brand correctly and not just kind of shooting all over the place. And so we said, let's kind of focus our efforts in the Southwest retail wise, but then we'll have the online channel up and running at the same time in case people are, hear about our brand or are interested in trying it. So that'll be available, no matter where you are in the States. And we'll be hitting shelves and online pretty much at the same time. Our target is to be up and running or in shelves by the end of March. So that's coming up real, real quick. I would say, anybody that's interested in our brand, check out our website, michamix.com, or follow us on Instagram or TikTok, michamixusa. Our social profile in the US is just getting started, but, that's where we'll find everything there is to know about the brand. And then people who are really interested in more about us, you can follow us on the Mexico account, which has been around a while.
Nice.
And, it has a big community and everything. And in a nutshell, I would say that, what I want people to know about is, if you've never heard of Michelada, try it out. I think it's something that it's a welcome surprise. It'll be kind of the way we're saying it. It's a taste of Mexico or a little bit of a dash of Mexico in a way. I think you'll be surprised of drinking it. And know that our brand is kind of, we're all about micheladas, right? So this is what we do. This is what we want to focus on. And we really think that micheladas give people a taste of the lighthearted life. And that's something that really we want to push in the world, a little bit of, not taking yourself too seriously at times. It's kind of what the mentality we're going after.
Sounds good, man. I can't wait. I can't wait to get the bottle and I'll try it. I'll let you know how it goes because I'm excited and I can't wait to feel this label, right? Because in the picture, it's like a lot of texture and you don't see a lot of texture in labels. So anything you can do to stand out, it's perfect. So do me a favor, anybody that's listening, go try Michamix and let us know what you think.